What up, what up, what up, Raider Nation? This is DJ Smooth, and you are listening to you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for tuning in today. We have a great show for you today. Again, I'm DJ Smooth, and this is Raider Rage. So we're going to talk about yesterday's game against the San Diego Chargers. Throw in some what Raiders history, what happened on this day in Raiders history for the next segment. And the last segment, we'll talk about the next week's game against the Arizona Cardinals. So I hope you're ready because I am very ready. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about yesterday's game. It was the Chargers and the Raiders, a division game, the first division game for the Raiders, you know, in Oakland. We don't like San Diego. San Diego doesn't like us. So there was, there was going to be a lot of hostility, a lot of hatred between these two teams. And it was a very exciting game. It was closer than what people thought. The Raiders did end up losing again, 31-28, unfortunately, but the Raiders showed promise. So did Derek Carr. Derek Carr showed promise. McFadden, he went back to his old self where he rushed for 1,000 yards a couple years ago. And it was great to see that. The defense, they got the stops when they got some stops, but they didn't get all the stops that they needed. Janikowski missed a field goal. So it was a disappointing game because you don't really take moral victories. I agree what Tony Sparano said in the press conference that he was happy with what the Raiders did during the game yesterday, but he's not content with the moral victory because moral victories don't get you anywhere in the NFL. The Lions, when they went 0-16, yeah, they probably had a lot of moral victories, but those moral victories didn't turn into actual victories, and that's what the Raiders need to be successful in the league and to get into the playoffs and be in the championship, be in the run for a Super Bowl. And that's where the goal is, and that's what the goal is, and that's what the Raiders want to head. You know, they did head in the right direction. They didn't get blown out to San Diego, who's considered one of the best teams in the league right now. So they went toe-to-toe with them. Had a chance to win the game. Should have won the game, actually. Should have won the game. You know, I can be right here, you know, tell you that it was a moral victory, this and that, that, you know, we won. We didn't win, but we played head-to-head with the Chargers, and that we didn't give up. We didn't back down, but I'm kind of sick of moral victories. I'm sick of them. I'm not going to lie. Was I happy with the performance yesterday? Yeah, I was. I wasn't really happy, overjoyed. Like, hey, even though we lost, we still were in there. We still had a chance. Like, I'm kind of sick of that. There's been so many games over these last 10 years like that. I don't want those anymore. I want to win. I want to say we got the job done. And we didn't get the job done yesterday. We didn't get the job done. Yeah, Derek Carr had his best game as a pro. But that late interception in the last minute, kind of, that wasn't a smart play. Wasn't a smart decision. And eventually he'll learn from that. He will learn. You don't give it up. You don't throw it deep when you're in field goal range or about to be in field goal range. You don't go deep at that time unless you're sure that it's not going to be intercepted. You got to be sure that either your receiver is going to make that play, or that if your receiver doesn't make that play, that it's going to be incomplete and not an interception. And he wasn't sure. Wasn't sure. He made the decision to go deep, and it ended up costing the Raiders a chance to win the game or sending it to overtime. He's got to know at that time of the game, in that situation, that you don't have to go deep. They were doing fine. He didn't have to go deep. Yes, he had his first touchdown was a deep pass to Andre Holmes in the first quarter. That was nice. Andre Holmes was wide open. He put the ball right there. Andre Holmes got it, took it to the end zone. That's when you go deep, when you know that your receiver beat the guy and he can make the play. Not when it's kind of iffy, 50-50 ball. You don't do that. But he'll learn. He'll learn. It's unfortunate because you see how wild, like, the Raiders play in these games that they should win. And you see how wild they play and how, you know, like, you feel like this is it. This is why can't they play this, like, all the time? And then they let you down in the fourth quarter. They always let you down in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I do got to give Derek Carr his props. Had the best game of his career. 18 for 34, 282 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The interception that lost the game. But he went toe-to-toe with Phillip Rivers, who's the hottest quarterback right now in the NFL. He went toe-to-toe. Didn't get sacked. You know, played well. I got to give him his props. He played well, but in crunch time, he's got to know you can't make that throw. You cannot make that throw at that time. Cannot make that throw. He's got to know that. And I was, you know, listening to what Tony Sparano was saying after the game, that he was happy with the Raiders' performance. But he's not going to take it as a moral victory, because moral victories ain't going to save his job, and is not going to save any of these players' jobs who's on the line right now. Reggie McKenzie's job is not going to be saved based on moral victories. We need to see some wins in the wins column. That's bottom line. Bottom line. Need to see some wins in the win column. That's what we need to see. Yes, the Raiders did play way better under Tony Sparano than under Dennis Allen. So you can see that the Raiders are heading in the right direction. That's what it looks like. Thank God. Because, honestly, if Dennis Allen was still the head coach, the Raiders may have lost by 40. But, you know, there was, you know, some positives of yesterday's game. You know, first, you know, like Derek Carr threw for 4 touchdowns, 282 yards. McFadden rushed 1480 yards, his best game in a long time. Jones-Drew, he had limited carries, but he had 30 yards on 4 carries. And that's what we need to see. And that's why the Raiders were so successful on offense yesterday, is because they were able to run the ball. And they went to the run. They committed to the run more yesterday than they did all season. And that's what we need to see, because when the Raiders are successful, their running game is successful. So when the running game is on point and is producing, that then the Raiders are successful and doesn't put that much pressure on Carr. But some, you know, and then the receivers were getting open. Yesterday. Andre Holmes had a career high game. 4 receptions, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bryce Butler, 3 receptions, 64 yards, 1 touchdown. So, there were some positives, but also some negatives. A lot of negatives. Like, first, you know, I've already said before, Derek Carr throwing his interception in that situation. Janikowski missing the field goal before halftime. That's a game changer. If you think about it, at that point, it doesn't seem like it, but that kind of got the Raiders, you know, got the Raiders. It got them. Because if he makes that field goal at the end of halftime, before halftime, it's 17-14. Raiders are up at halftime. And also, it ends up tied. We go to overtime. So that changes the game. That's one of the Janikowski's got to make that. That's in his range. That's what we pay him to do, to make field goals. And, yeah, he only kicked 3 field goals before that, but still, that's your job. That's the only job you have to do, is make a field goal. And obviously, he failed at his job and he failed his team. A lot of people may not be talking about it right now, but I got to bring it up. Because that's a big part of the game. If you look back at it, he missed a field goal, and that could have been a tie game. Also, the defense at the end, they weren't stopping Phillip Rivers. And also the special teams, they punted. I remember after the Raiders went 3-and-out in the fourth quarter, they only took 1 minute off the clock, and they gave the Chargers like four minutes to go. They punted it. Keenan Allen got a big return, took it to the R40, and then the defense couldn't stop him. Gave Rivers a lot of time to throw at the end of the game, and that's why San Diego's game-winning drive was kind of easy. Couldn't stop Oliver, the running back, Brandon Oliver. He had 26 carries, 101 yards, one touchdown. Also, penalties. Raiders had 11 penalties for 79 yards. They gotta cut down on that. Have to cut down on that. That's unacceptable. The Raiders have led penalties for years now. It's like 14 straight years now. That's unacceptable. But I feel like Tony Sparano he's gonna crack down on that. And he's gonna get the defense to work even harder. Because you can tell yesterday the defense was working hard. At the beginning of the game, they were getting pressure on Phillip Rivers. They were stopping the run game. But I think they got tired because the Raiders only had the ball for 22 minutes for the whole game, for possession. The Chargers had 15 more minutes of possession of the football than the Raiders. And sometimes, you know, the defense gets tired. And you can tell. Justin Tuck got injured. You can tell that he was a little injured. So I want to say, you know, we can take moral victories out of this, but as a Raider fan, I'm sick of moral victories. Those are the only victories we get, it seems like. And I'm kind of done with those. Kind of done. The Raiders are 0-5. We're 0-5. And, you know, moral victories cannot, you know, it can't help, like, the truth. It can't, like, hide the truth that, you know, we're actually 0-5. And it's looking like a long season. That's what it looks like. Got 11 games to go and we're 0-5. So they got to do something. They got to make something more out of this. Yes, it was a great game. Yes, we put up a fight with the San Diego Chargers, who were playing hot and were actually blowing out teams. They blew out the Jets, Bills, Jaguars. They won by a large amount their last three games. And, you know, we didn't back down. We weren't scared of them. And we put up a fight. We did put up a fight. We put up a hell of a fight. But I'm sick of moral victories. I'm done. I'm done with them. There's nothing I can do with a moral victory. Because at the end of the day, reality says we're 0-5 and we're one of the worst teams in the league. And that's unacceptable. You may think I have a bias opinion because I'm a diehard Raider fan, but if your team was 0-5, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. 0-5 is not what we were expecting. It's not what we want. They gotta get going now. They gotta figure a way to win these games, these type of games in those type of situations. They have to. We were already moving the ball well. We were moving down the field. Easy. There was no need to go deep. I give him props for going deep. He took a chance. I can't take that away from him. But he's got to be smart. Derek Carr has got to be smart in that situation and understand that we don't need the deep ball. We don't need that at that time. We just need to get in field goal range for Janikowski to tie this game and send it to overtime. And if not, you know, maybe if you don't go deep, but you know, do what you've been doing earlier in the drive, because they were just, you know, handing it to McFadden or 10-yard comeback route to James Jones or Andre Holmes. Bryce Butler. It was working. Bryce Butler's touchdown was a small gain. Was supposed to be a small gain that turned into a touchdown because he was so fast and he got open from his defender. We didn't need the deep ball. Derek Carr, we did not need the deep ball. We didn't need it at that time. But he took a chance. And you know what can we do? He took a chance. And he said he would have thrown that ball 100 more times in that type of situation. I don't know if that's, you know, the rookie talking or his ego talking. But he's got to understand at that point of the game, in that situation, just be smart and just get in field goal range. Nothing we can do now, though. But, yeah, the Raiders ended up losing yesterday, 31-28 to the San Diego Chargers. San Diego is now 5-1 atop of the division. Raiders fall to 0-5. They will play the Arizona Cardinals next Sunday in Oakland. We'll talk about more of that matchup later on in the show. But next, we are going to talk about events in Raider history. So just hold on, and we'll be back after this message. This is DJ Smoove, and you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu.
Mispronounced my name. You didn't wait for all the information before you turned me away. Wait a minute, sir.
flooding for that same forgotten meal to get a taste. I see right through what were you. For a child, you took a long, hard look in my ass and then played golf for a while. You shake us like a fish, you pat me on the head. You took me out to wine dine 69, but you didn't hear a damn word I said. I see right through.
Welcome back to Raider Rage. I'm DJ Smooth, and you're listening to Raider Rage on radio.dominican.edu. So, we're going to just go back in time here and just talk about important history throughout the Raiders' entirety. So, you know, there's just, we're gonna just bring up some couple just like big moments in Raider history that, you know, kind of turned, that changed the Raiders organization throughout time. So let's start off in April 27, 1982, the Raiders select U.S. running back Marcus Allen, who was the 1981 Heisman Trophy winner, in the first round. So that was a big deal because, you know, Marcus Allen did become one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. He led the Raiders to a Super Bowl in 1983. The next year, and he also won Rookie of the Year that year, Marcus Allen. And Marcus Allen is a Raider. He is a Raider. Even though he did play for the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of his career, he is ultimately a Raider. Raider for life. He may not admit it because, you know, he did have problems with Al Davis. There was a lot of problems. It was well known. It was very public that, you know, they didn't like each other. And it was unfortunate because, you know, Marcus Allen could have had many more great years as a Raider running back. But unfortunately, like I said, that Al Davis is, and him just did not get along. And Al Davis was the Raiders' owner, a legendary owner, if you guys don't know. Al Davis is the Raiders' legendary owner. He died a couple years ago. But at that time in the 80s, you know, the Raiders were about to move to Los Angeles because that same year, on May 7th, the U.S. Federal District Court found that the Raiders can move to LA and be known as the Los Angeles Raiders. So there was a lot going at that time. So, you know, Marcus Allen had many great years with the Raiders, but it was unfortunate because he could have had many more. But, you know, the Raiders messed up and, you know, traded him to Kansas City, the Chiefs, and he killed us after that. I think he scored his 100th rushing touchdown on the Raiders. But, yeah, Marcus Allen was probably one of the greatest running backs in not in it, in NFL history, but if not, in also in Oakland Raider history. And he won Rookie of the Year. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, Hall of Famer. And he led the Raiders to the championship in 1983. Led them to the Super Bowl. They dismantled the Washington Redskins. And that year, the Washington Redskins defense was considered to be the best defense in the league. And they didn't allow scoring. They did not allow huge deficits that year. And also, yeah, the Raiders were also big underdogs in that game. Huge underdogs. But the Raiders won that game. And back to Marcus Allen, he had one of the most iconic runs in Super Bowl history. It's also every time you watch the NFL Network or something, they flash back to that. They always talk about, they always show that run. Always. Always shows that run. And it was a great moment in Raider history because that capped off the third and last Super Bowl victory for the Raiders. The Raiders have not won a Super Bowl since then. They've been close, but haven't won it. And it was just unfortunate for Marcus Allen because he could have retired as a Raider and should have retired as a Raider, but he just wanted more touches. And there's a story that he always talks about. He always asks, he says that he asked Al Davis for more carries. And Al Davis told him that, you can get the ball and, just grab a ball during practice and run a couple more laps. Just run laps if you want more carries. And then when Bo Jackson was drafted by the Raiders and he came to play for the Raiders, they actually moved Marcus Allen to fullback. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that when Bo Jackson came to play for the Raiders, that Marcus Allen was moved to fullback, and they had Bo Jackson as the starting running back. And I got to give him a lot of props because he had so much to give, so much to offer as a running back, but he did not complain and he moved to fullback. He did what he did it. He played for his teammates. And he said that he was just out there for his teammates. He really didn't care about Al Davis, the whole thing, He just let that thing, just let it go. But, it was great. But, yeah. So, one of those iconic, not iconic, but one of those moves or one of these moments in Raider history that changed the Raiders forever is drafting Marcus Allen because he was a great player. And he did help the Raiders win a Super Bowl, and he gave the Raiders a lot of memories. So we got to thank you, Marcus Allen, for those great memories that you gave us. Okay, so here we go. The next moment in Raider history is the controversial Tuck Rule. January 19th, 2002. Raiders go to New England to play the Patriots. The faceless rookie quarterback Tom Brady, who wasn't even the starter that year. Drew Bledsoe was the starter that year. And they ended up, so it was the Raiders, Patriots in New England. It was snowing like crazy. There was just snow everywhere. It was just all on the field. You couldn't see the field. It was just straight white. And at that time, the Raiders were considered one of the best teams in the league. They had Rich Gannon as a quarterback. He was the MVP that year. You had Tom Brady. Charles Woodson was in his prime. Lincoln Kennedy. Jerry Rice was with the Raiders at that time. I know you San Francisco fans don't like it, but who cares? Yes, Jerry Rice was a Raider. And that was John Gruden's final game as the Raiders head coach, because eventually, you guys know what happened. Charles Woodson blitzed from the side, from the corner position, hit Tom Brady. The ball came out. Greg Beeker dived on the ball. And it looked like the Raiders were going to win the game. They were up 13-10. There was 1 minute and 40 seconds left. The Raiders had the ball. They were going to just kneel and go on to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game. Probably would have beat the AFC, probably would have beat the Steelers, and probably would have went on to the Super Bowl and beaten the Rams in the Super Bowl. But no, the refs had different ideas that night. They had different ideas that night and decided to throw the tuck rule on us. No one knew what the tuck rule was at that time. No one knew what it was. I didn't even know it was a rule. No one knew it was a rule except the refs. And all of a sudden, they threw it out there saying that Tom Brady's arm was going forward, which it clearly wasn't. Trust me, I know. I've watched the video plenty of times. Plenty of times. I've watched it. I've watched it. I've analyzed it. I've examined it. Slow-mo. Regular. I've seen the video plenty of times. And it's clear that his arm wasn't going forward. It was down at his hip. I guess you can throw the ball at your hip when it's at your hip. I guess you can throw it still. But, yep, the refs called the tuck rule and decided to say, oh, no. He was throwing the ball. So the Raiders instead had to go back on defense. And, you know, Vinatieri hit maybe his luckiest kick of the year and tied the game at 13. Tied the game at 13. And then in overtime kicked another miraculous field goal to win 16-13. And that changed the Raiders' whole just changed the whole organization's, like, the where they were going and now where are they now. That kind of paved the way for where the Raiders are today. If you think about it, paved the way. Because after that game, the Raiders lost, Al Davis was furious. And he probably made moves that he shouldn't have made. He traded John Gruden and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next year, John Gruden and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rout the Raiders in the Super Bowl. Just rout them. There was no chance. The Raiders had no chance that day. None. Because John Gruden knew the whole playbook. He knew Rich Gannon's tendencies. Knew everything. So, people say that, oh, when the Raiders lost the Super Bowl, that's when they just went downhill. No, that's not the case. The Raiders went downhill that night, January 19th, 2002. That was the night that the Raiders started to decline. It's that night because the Raiders lose one of the best young coaches in the NFL because they trade him away for unknown reasons. I don't know why. Al Davis was just furious, but he made a rash decision that eventually bit him, that got him back. Tom Brady becomes what he is today, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Because Tom Brady was a nobody at that time. A nobody. He was nothing. No one knew who he was. He was just a 6th-round draft pick out of Michigan, and that was it. But he became a Super Bowl champion that year. That paved the way for the Patriots to win 3 out of 4 years. And then the Raiders just declined. The Raiders haven't been good since that day. Yes, the Raiders did go to the Super Bowl the year after, but it didn't feel the same. Because it didn't feel the same because we didn't have our coach. John Gruden was on the other sideline. Bill Callahan was our coach, and it wasn't right. It didn't feel right. Our center, Barrett Robbins, decided not to go to the game. He decided to go to Mexico, have some shots and everything. Didn't play. Thought we won when they. Barrett Robbins, the center of the Raiders back in 2002, thought the Raiders, he was the starting center, and according to Tim Brown, this is the story, that he went, the coach was going to run the ball. That was the game plan. But Friday night, the coach, Bill Callahan, decided to change and said, oh, no, we're going to throw it 40 times. And as the center, you got to, like, that's a lot. That's, like, you can't do that because you got the audibles. You got to read the defense, this and that. So that was too much for Barrett Robbins. So he just left and went to Mexico and got drunk and just partied for a couple of days. And they said when the Raiders found him in Mexico, he thought that they won. But unfortunately, they lost. But the Raiders' decline started that night, January 19th, 2002, known as the Tuck Rule game, because nothing was felt the same. The year after didn't feel the same, and it just went down. After the Super Bowl year, Rich Gannon got hurt, was never the same. He had neck injuries, had to retire. Tim Brown was traded to the Buccaneers, so was Charlie Garner. Jerry Rice was unhappy, so they just released him. And it's never been the same since. And the Raiders are still looking for that, still looking for someone or something to, you know, bring them back to the promised land. And that's the playoffs right now. Once we get in the playoffs, the promised land will be the championship. Right now, we just want to get wins. Just want to win some games. Just win some games. That's all we want. And, you know, they got to start by winning games next week against the Arizona Cardinals. So, and that's what we're going to talk about next segment after we come back. I am DJ Smooth, and you are listening to Raider Rage only on the one and only radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back after this break.
This is DJ Bosco with another Bosco break. If you like shopping online, you'll be used to the endless stream of disappointing deals and sales pushed in front of you by retailers every day. They just never quite turn out to be the bargains they claim to be. Very few outlets offer extremely low prices on premium products, and even few make the experience of purchasing them fun and entertaining. But there are still some amazingly good deals to find out there that'll save you heaps of money. But they only exist on a handful of websites. One such retailer is a new online auction website called Quibids, who have worked out a way to sell you must-have products at prices that are so low you won't believe your eyes. Their product range is extensive and includes some of the most sought-after consumer items available. Examples are Apple devices, iPads, iPhones, and MacBooks, to HD televisions, Nikon cameras, and even jewelry and gift cards to premium retailers. To understand how this works, you first need to know what an entertainment auction is. This auction model is different to traditional online auction formats such as eBay. Every time a bid is placed, a charge of a few cents is made to their customers. Added up, these small individual charges amount to quite a lot. This enables them to sell an item that costs hundreds or even thousands of dollars for no more than 30 or 40 bucks. Simply put, the retail prices they charge are by far the lowest available online. Every time a customer bids, the auction is extended by no more than 20 seconds, and the last person who placed a bid when the clock time reaches zero receives the right to purchase the item at the discounted price. While you get a big buzz from winning an auction, strategizing over when to bid and how many bids to place is also huge fun. CEO Matt Beckman said that they are growing incredibly fast and that their numbers of customers now reaches into the millions. This is a new type of shopping that appeals to a mass audience. Consumers expect more when they shop these days, and Quibids offers that, he said. For an auction winner, the true cost of the item purchased is slightly higher than the final price the auction ended with, because the auction winner would have spent a few dollars bidding several times in the auction. Typically, this amount is fairly modest, so when both elements are added up, customers on average save around 75 to 85% of cost. For those who participate in any auction and don't win, they are able to use a buy now feature to purchase the product at a discounted rate, which is the listed price minus the value of the bids they have placed. This basically means the auctions are a no-loss proposition, which is pretty amazing. So if you are looking to save up to 90% on items such as brand new iPads for $32, a Samsung HD TV for $37, or a Canon Rebel T3i camera bundle for $27, check out QuiBids today. That's the end of your Bosco break. Back to the show. When you see me right by.
Thank you, Bosco, for that amazing Bosco break. So, this is Raider Rage, DJ Smooth, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. So, the Raiders, they're at home still, and they have to play the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals, right now, are 4-1. I think they're probably in first place, the top of the NFC West. And this is going to be, I don't see the Cardinals as a good team. Like, I know they're 4-1 and they have victories over San Diego and the San Francisco 49ers, but I don't know. I'm looking at the Cardinals' stats and their team, and I don't see how they're winning, to be honest. I really don't see how they're winning. And I think the Raiders have a great chance. If the Raiders play like they did yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders pulled out a victory next Sunday. I would not be surprised. Because, honestly, I'm looking at the Cardinals' stats right now, and they rank 21st in passing, whereas the Raiders here, where the Raiders rank 22nd, or 20th, actually. My apologies. The Raiders rank 20th in passing. And the Cardinals are not that good running the ball either. They're ranked 30th, where the Raiders are ranked 31st in rushing. So, and also the Cardinals starting quarterback, Carson Palmer, that was the Raiders quarterback a couple years ago. And I feel, you know, the Raiders are going to be familiar with what Carson Palmer likes and what he likes to do in different situations. Like, you know, what he does on a three step drop or a five-step drop, six-step drop. They know what he likes to do. They know who he likes to throw to and everything like that. Also, Cardinals' defense is not that good either. Their front seven's amazing because they're third in opponent rushing. Opponents don't rush that much on Cardinals. Cardinals only allow 75.8 yards rushing to an opponent per game. And that's when it's be difficult. Because, you know, like I said before, the Raiders need to run to be successful. McFadden needs to get going. Maurice Jones-Drew needs to get going. Give Marcel Reese a little involved, you know. But the Cardinals' secondary is atrocious. Horrible. They're 30s. They're last. They're last in rushing. They give up 309 yards passing a game. 309 yards. That's more than the Raiders. The Raiders are actually ranked 11th. Their pass defense is actually nice. I'm still kind of shocked by that. At least the Raiders are top 10 in something. We're not top 10, but, you know, we can round them down. You know, we're top 10. To me, we're top 10. But, yeah, so expect Derek Carr to go deep. Expect him to throw the ball deep. And you saw that yesterday. Tony Sparano kind of, you know, let the leash loose a little bit. They let Derek Carr make plays. Let him do what he's good at, and that's throw the ball. Because you can tell when Dennis Allen was there in the first four games that there was just a lot of short passes, a lot of check downs, like five. Like, the longest he probably threw was like 6, 10 yards. But they actually, yesterday, they actually let him throw down the field. And that's what you need to do, because in college at Fresno State, Derek Carr was, he was, that's all he did. He was in shotgun formation the whole time, or majority of the time at Fresno State. He knows what it takes to throw the ball. So let him throw it. So expect that, because Cardinals' pass defense is atrocious. They're last. So expect Derek Carr to throw deep to Andre Holmes, James Jones. Bryce Butler is going to get a lot more playing time. Hopefully the Raiders get Vincent Brown back. Maybe involve Denarius Moore when he decides to catch the ball. The main focus for on offense for the Raiders is protect Derek Carr like usual. And they got to get the running game going. Hopefully get McFadden going, Maurice Jones-Drew. That's the main focus. Defensively, the Raiders got to get stops on third down. They have to. Because yesterday, they didn't. In crucial games, I mean, in crucial situations of the game yesterday, they weren't getting no third down stops. They have to get off on third down. The defense has got to get off. They got to get stops and get let the offense get back on the field. Because I know the defense, you can tell the defense was getting tired at the end of the game yesterday. They were gassed. You can see it in Justin Tuck's face. You can see it in the whole defensive line's face. You can just tell they were just gassed. They weren't giving the same effort they were in the beginning of the game. So, the Raiders got to, you know, got to get going. Got to get going. And I feel like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders pull out the game. It's going to be a close game again. So, Raider fans, be prepared because it's going to be close. It's going to be really close. And, you know, I don't see Arizona as really good. Yeah, they pulled off a couple of sneaky victories against San Francisco and San Diego. But look who else they played. They played New York. Giants are not good. Giants are bad. Just horrible. Washington's okay, I guess. And then the only, you know, good team or great team they've played this year is the Denver Broncos. They lost by 19, 20 points. So, you know, Arizona's not as good as what people think. It's kind of false. Their 4-1 record is false. It's false. Well, because they're not as good as 4-1, honestly. They pulled off a couple of great victories, and, you know, I don't want to take that away from them, but they're not 4-1 good. They're maybe 3-2 good or 2-3 good, not 4-1. Also, you know, Carson Palmer just came off injury, and he's if the Raiders get pressure on him, you know, we know, Raider fans know. Raider fans know how Carson Palmer acts while he's under pressure. We've seen it. We've seen all the interceptions he's thrown. We've seen it all. Ain't that right, Raider Nation? We've seen it all. We've seen everything Palmer's in trouble. Watch him throw an interception. Pick six. We've seen all the pick sixes he's thrown. So Raiders know what to do. They do. It may not seem like it. Yeah, we're 0-5, but they know what to do. They're going to get the job done this week. I have a feeling. I had a feeling yesterday, too. I really did. Before the game, I don't know why. I just felt good. I really did. I just felt good. I felt confident. I was like, you know what? I'm not scared. Not scared. You know? I was like, I feel like we're not going to get blown out today. That's how I felt yesterday. I was like, I don't think we're going to get blown out. We're going to win this game. And we had the damn chance. We had a chance to win the game. It's just, we didn't pull it off. We messed up. Messed up at the end of the game. Bad decision, but got to live with those, I guess. Got to live with those. But, yeah. Not Chargers. I'm still stuck on the Charger game. I was just last night, or after the game, I was just going through it. What we could have done. It was just in my mind, like, oh, we should have done this, and we should have done that. So the Chargers are still in my mind. I apologize. But the Cardinals, yes, they play in a tough NFC West, but we play in a tough AFC West, and we know what it takes to play tough teams. We've played tougher teams throughout the year. We played, you know, we had to go to New York, and as a West Coast team playing on an East Coast time zone, that's horrible. You're playing 3 hours, 3 hours earlier than what you normally do. It may be 1 over there, but it feels like 10 a.m. And your body feels like it's 10 a.m. We played Houston, who's actually pretty good. New England, even though they've been struggling, New England's always good. Miami's good. And San Diego, one of the top teams. And we, you know, should have won. Had that game. But, yeah, the Raiders' defense has to get off the field on third down next week. Has to. They can't let the Cardinals convert on third down all the time or the majority of the time. They got to get them off. What I want to see from the Raiders is the Cardinal, when I look at the stats after next week's game, I want to see third down conversions. I want to see the Cardinals getting less than like 30%, 30 or 40%. I want to see like a 2 for 2 of 10 or something like that. Because yesterday, the San Diego game, it was the Chargers was just converting on third down, especially at the end of the game. They were 8 for 14 on third down. That's not good. But also, like, and talking about third down, for the offense, for the Raiders' offense next week, do what they did yesterday. The Raiders were 8 for 13 on third down conversions. And we need more of that so we can stay on the field and give our defense more rest. It's going to be a good game, guys. It's going to be the same. I feel like it's going to be the same game next week. Same game as last week. It's going to be another close one, another nail biter. It's going to be another one of those. I'm not going to say 31-28, but it's going to be close. Maybe like a 2017 or a 24-17. It's going to be close. It's not going to be a blowout. Tony Sparano's got his control on this team. They believe in him, and you can tell. The way they played yesterday, you can tell that the Raiders believe in what Tony Sparano is saying. They believe in him. I didn't sense that the first 4 weeks, but yesterday was the first time I sensed that the Raiders had heart and energy and fire. Someone ignited a fire in them, and that was Tony Sparano. The way they played, and that the Raiders keep on playing like that and, you know, win some games, I could see Tony Sparano staying as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Putting that out there right now. Bold fact. Bold statement. Tony Sparano might be the Raiders' head coach next year. And I wouldn't be angry. I wouldn't be upset. Yeah, I would like to bring in, you know, John Gruden or one of the Harbaugh brothers. That would be nice. Not going to lie. That would be fantastic. That would be unbelievable. I would jump up and down in joy. Have a party. I would. I really would have a party if John Gruden or Jim Harbaugh would come back. But honestly, I can see Tony Sparano staying as the Raiders head coach because he's not a bad coach. He's actually he's a good coach. He had success with the Miami Dolphins. He led the Miami Dolphins from like a one-win team to a playoff team. And that's who we need right now. We need someone like that, and we do. So I'm excited. I really am. Even though we're 0-5 and things ain't looking up good right now and we're in darkness right now and we're in the butt of everybody's jokes right now, I'm kind of excited. I really am. I am excited. Because this from what I saw yesterday, this looks like this Raiders team really is ready to start. Ready to start playing again. So I'm excited. I really am. So that's next Sunday, Raiders Cardinals. Expect the Raiders to play as well as they did yesterday. Expect it to be close. Expect Derek Carr to air it out next week. I think he's in, honestly, because the Cardinals' pass defense is not that good. And hopefully expect Maurice Jones-Drew and Darren McFadden to put out the performance they did yesterday. So next Sunday at 1:05, it's going to be Cardinals at the Raiders, O.co Stadium. So if you want to go to a game, go to the Raider game. I've been there. Tailgate. It's fantastic. It's a great environment. Just support the Raiders. Go support the Raiders because they need it. They, you know, it's tough, Raider fans. I know it is. It's tough. I know. I'm with you guys. It's tough. But things are look like it's going to turn around, guys. So Raider Nation, stay strong. Stick in there. I know it's hard. I know we've been sticking in there for a little while now, but just stay. Raiders are going to turn things around. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But anyways, again, Cardinals Raiders next week at the O.co Stadium. Thank you for tuning in. I'm DJ Smooth. This is Raider Rage, only on radio.dominican.edu. And I'll see you next week when we'll talk about what happened. We'll talk about the outcome of the Raiders Cardinals. So again, this is DJ Smooth. This is in Raider Rage, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Have a great day, everybody. My skin and put my bones into everything I record to it, and yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But